right, so we're going to take questions.
We're doing pretty good on time.
Cool. We're going to take questions first, and then comments will be handled after I walk away. We have one? Yeah, if you have a question that we've been asked to, we're live streaming this one, so I'll make sure everybody hears any questions that might come up. Any questions from the crowd?
My name is Mary Becker. I wanted to thank the committee, first of all, for having the session so close to my house. So I appreciate the opportunity to get home. Question. I'd like to know a little bit more about your thinking about how you were going to structure partnerships with a private partnership at a 75% versus a public being 100%. What's your logic and your foundation?
The true answer to that is we don't have an answer to that yet. That is one of the, I would say, one of the key things we really want to get back from Indiana stakeholders is, what do you think about the match? I can tell you just from conversations I've had with other Midwestern states, there is not consistent love of the language with the matches that is included in the mitigation trust, the 100 versus 75. The sense is that a lot of Midwestern states are probably going to go consistent, whatever that number is. So we don't have a position. That is absolutely correct. And that's actually a really good point that I think we should build on, is those are caps. Those are not requirements. A lot of the things that are contained within the mitigation trust itself are requirements. That is an up to. So that does not necessarily mean that those are the targets and the goals that we have to hit for matches. Cool. Good.
Good evening. Kelly Walsh with the Greater Indiana Clean Cities Coalition. Sean, the questions that you said would be submitted to you or should be submitted to you, will those be posted anywhere for public information so that, one, you don't get the same question 10,000 times?
Yeah, we're looking. There are two things we're actually in the process of developing. One is more of a comments type of a FAQ document, and one is sort of a question and answer FAQ document. Both of those, when they are developed, will end up on the BW Trust website for Indiana. The reason they're not out yet, in all honesty, is one of the key things that I thought made sense was, let's hear from folks in one of these public listening sessions and we'll build from this. So the comments and the questions we've gotten so far, plus this, will make up that. So yeah, just keep your eyes on the website and you will find stuff there.
Second question, if I may. I know there's a 3-year drawdown process for the state to get all their money down from the Wilmington Trust. Do you anticipate the state's dollars all being spent in that 3 years, or do you anticipate taking up to 5 or the full 10, or is that part of what could be commented on in our submissions there?
I think that's going to be entirely driven on the applications and the number and quality of applications that we get. We're not in a hurry, but we're not planning to drag our feet either. So it could be 3 years, it could be 10 years, it's probably not going to be 10 years.
That'll also be determined by the caps and things.
Yeah.
That's set as well, I guess.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yeah, this presentation, for those that don't know, you know how I said everything's going to be on the website? This is one of those things that's going to be on the website too, so we've got that going for us. Any other questions? You got one coming?
Hi, Ryan Lissick, Clean Cities of South Shore Clean Cities up in Northern Indiana. How will the different alternative fuels be weighted against your traditional diesel and a NOx grading criteria?
Well, it's a good question, and one thing that I think is worth considering is, well, there are two things actually that come into play in response to that. One is, if you actually dig into the details of the mitigation trust the way it's written, you will see that there are actually different match percentage opportunities for different fuel sources, if you will. Alternative fuel vehicles might get a higher match in some programs as opposed to others. So that could play into it. But in really direct response, the answer would be that when we look at it, and I think the easiest way is just to kind of look at it from a straight logical standpoint. One of our key components as far as evaluating and scoring a project is going to be, cost per ton reduced. Or maybe it will be overall emissions reduction potential. You know, it could be one of those, it could be both of those. In either one of those cases, if you look at or more than likely in either one of those cases, if you look at replacing a diesel with a diesel versus a diesel with an electric, obviously the electric vehicle is going to score higher on the emission reduction potential, but from a cost per ton reduced, it might not score as high. So, you know, that's one of the many variables that will play in once the criteria are kind of developed.
Thank you.
Yep.
Hi, my name is Mike Falleroni, and I work for Ryan, so I'm representing various companies that, you know, may be looking to upgrade their fleets. I know in some states there's geographic restrictions based on, you know, the population affected. Has there been any thoughts on that as well?
No, not here. This is a statewide program, just like DieselWise Indiana is a statewide program. The VW program is intended to be a statewide program. You know, there will be, within the scoring criteria, there will be components that I might take into account, you know, as the one slide said, as it relates to, you know, those that are affected by air quality maybe more than others, those, because of the criteria, might score a little bit better. But as far as sort of a preconceived mentality or thought that most of the money is going to go here versus there versus the other, no, that's not the case. It's going to all really be driven by the number of applications and the quality of applications, and ultimately what the scoring criteria looks like as it gets developed.
John, I have a question. I think it would be helpful for the committee to hear from you if you have thoughts about whether or not the committee should come up with a plan that includes the allocation of the resources are divided geographically or throughout the state, or concentrations are most in need of engagement at this time, or should it be based upon population centers versus non-population centers? Well, how do we approach this with respect to the state of Indiana? Is there some criteria that you think would be wise for us to consider? I'd be looking at the third question.
And then I just have one more question. I know, for instance, Ohio is using to actually like score the NOx reductions. They're using like an EPA tool where, you know, everything's entered in.
Yep.
Is there going to be some type of standardized tool that is going to be used to quantify these NOx reductions?
Yes, there will be. We're looking at right now. We're looking at DOE has the A-Fleet program, which is really kind of strong in the alt fuel world. U.S. EPA has their diesel emission quantifier, which is pretty strong in all of those worlds. One of those is going to be kind of the model that we use. The vision is so that we don't have to, at this level, try to make sense of these emissions calculations. The vision would be that, let us say, U.S. EPA's diesel emission quantifier is the tool that is identified, that any applicant, when they send those applications in, they are going to go to the deck. They're going to run that. They're going to provide us with the results. So everybody's using the same tool to calculate their emission reduction potential.
Okay. And sorry, I just have one more question.
That's fine.
So my final question is, I guess, timing for the implementation of projects. Mm-hmm. So, you know, spring or summer to fall for application submission, I assume maybe like a 90 or so day window of, you know, review and such. So would we be looking at for like, for instance, like a private company standpoint, projects that that will likely take place in 2019? Is the state considering anything like back driven? So like if they get awarded, but maybe not, you know, maybe an agreement's not finalized. So maybe they make some purchases in late 18. Is that something that will be considered as well?
It's something we can certainly look into. It is not necessarily the way it's been done in the past. State statute actually requires us to do a couple things. One, we can't actually reimburse an entity if we don't have a legal document that says you're going to do this and we're going to do that. And so that's where, through DieselWise, we've always said you can do all the planning you want, you can do all the math you want, but don't spend any money until the Attorney General signs your document. That way you know you are safe and legitimately going to get reimbursed for those costs.
Okay, thanks. Okay?
Several online questions. Who wants to facilitate?
Okay. The first one from Greg. Will infrastructure projects not related to electric power, i.e. propane, CNG, et cetera, be considered by the committee for funding?
The mitigation trust itself does not provide for that. That's something that we have noticed in reviewing the language of the mitigation trust, that it does seem to provide some funding for infrastructure for electric, but it does not for propane and CNG.
Okay, another one from Bill Rogers. Why isn't fire apparatus considered for replacement in the class 4 to 7?
I'm not necessarily sure that it's not. We literally had a conversation about this earlier today with the Region 5 folks, and there seems to be traction that those could very well be eligible project types. There's a little bit of misinformation maybe out there. We're all working through the gray areas together, so I wouldn't say necessarily that is a no yet. Correct.
And the last one I have from Whitney. You mentioned Midwestern states will have consistency in matching funds. Will you also have similar application processes or project forms? In general, can you comment further on the project application process?
To answer the first question first, we've had conversations about that. There is not a consensus as far as these Region 5 Midwestern states, which is basically when we say Region 5 states, we're talking about Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio. These are the states we're actually talking about. There is not a consensus on how we're handling matching requirements per se. The application process, what I would encourage everybody to do right now, the vision of the application process is to be quite consistent with the DieselWise Indiana program. So I would say instead of me taking a lot of time trying to describe that to folks, it might be better for you to take a look at the DieselWise Indiana website. I always leave the last round of funding, the solicitation, up, so you can take a look at that solicitation and really get a better feel for what an application looks like and what the process will be. And were those all the online questions, Ryan? All right, I think we're good. Anything else from the crowd? We've got one in the back. Sure.
Hello. David Schultz with Blue Main Trucking Partners. Just a quick question on the application process. If you're looking at newer technology, and how do you validate the NOx reduction without spending some money? And then afterwards, if you did submit and you had those numbers, is there any process that validates those numbers or those NOx reductions?
And my guess here is when you say validating these numbers, you're talking about a new technology that is not necessarily a retail on the market type of technology,
exactly.
Right? They're really, as sad as it may be, there used to be wonderful programs that supported that. The Volkswagen Mitigation Trust won't allow for that, nor does DieselWise Indiana allow for that. For the purpose of that, because I think that's a fantastic question and something that needs to be helped and addressed, I would say just keep your eye on EPA's website. Look for what they used to call it emerging technologies, and they would have grant funds available for those things in the past, and hopefully they'll have those again in the future. So sorry that I'm not giving you good news, but at least that's a resource.
Thank you.
I am done. I am not done.
Hello. Hey. My name is Robert Thompson, and I represent American Intermodal Equipment Company. And there is a commercially available solution to the problems that you're trying to mitigate. And I'm just wondering, instead of engine replacement, what about engine augmentation? Is that covered under the plan?
I would say that the DERA option does have some flexibility for things like that. So what I would say from the standpoint of providing comments, which is what we're really talking about obviously today, do provide some comments, give some information on what that type of technology is, and encourage us to make sure that we look closely at the DERA option to provide that kind of flexibility.
Outstanding. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Appreciate it.
I do believe I'm done now. Thank you.
My name is Katie Robinson. I'm the director of the Office of Sustainability. I also have with me Matt Mosier. He is our senior manager for air quality. Thank you for allowing us the time to provide input to the BMP for the Volkswagen Mitigation Trust. The City of Indianapolis believes that the BMP should ensure that the areas most disproportionately impacted by compromised air quality are prioritized. Safeguarding these communities from bearing the burden of excessive pollution while simultaneously being excluded from remediation efforts. The prioritization of jurisdictions should be a transparent process that focuses on the most impacted areas and lays out a fair and justifiable utilization of funds. Excuse me. As a result, the City of Indianapolis will be submitting detailed written comments within the public notice period that recommends funding be distributed to the counties based on the following: values of transportation-related emissions and size of vulnerable populations, numbers of registered offending vehicles, and air quality that indicates a disproportionate amount of pollution. Additionally, the City of Indianapolis believes local governments are being best positioned to implement trust-funded projects in vulnerable communities within their jurisdictions. Local governments can be comprehensive in their approach to address community needs. Local governments have an existing framework, capacity, and demonstrated experience in serving their community and uplifting vulnerable populations. And the award of trust funding to municipalities allows them to divert more tax dollars toward initiating and supporting community projects that will leave a lasting impact on areas affected in lieu of matching funds. Thank you for your consideration and providing a platform for us to provide input.
Thank you, Senator. My name is Merritt Becker, and I'm going to try to represent the thousands of Cummins employees that live in the state and work in the state. I want to thank you for tackling this giant trustee obligation. It's clearly that the reduction of NOx and the damage done by the VW infraction is definitely going to hold us to a higher degree of standard and grant us the opportunity to rectify it as we go forward. When I say I represent Cummins, I represent, again, thousands of employees, all the way from the diesel engineers down in Columbus to the sales teams to the technicians to all the support groups that are out there helping those that want diesel products and diesel power and powertrains related to that get better and use those towards their obligations for their businesses and their lives. So comments that I'd like to sort of summarize relative to the trust and the plan is, first of all, I think it's important that we start to prioritize NOx as you have it reductions in a quick fashion. So really try to get the biggest bang for our buck. And when you start looking at the projects that are up there, not only are the on-highway vehicles important, and we have lots of experience with diesel-wise and the DERA funding, but also with switcher locomotives. There's a lot of grain elevators across the state that have archaic, if you will, diesel operations and switcher locomotives that can be changed out to much cleaner technologies that our company possesses. Looking at the marine market, the ports, the forklifts, even the industrial applications around pumps and material equipment are very important to really go after the areas that are non-attainment zones that are really, really driving for cleaner NOx. As far as adding from a priority standpoint is power generation. I did not see that on the list. There's quite a few power generators that are out there, both home and standby, that could be upgraded as well to try to reduce the NOx footprint overall. As a second point, I ask the committee when they start to prioritize projects, as our teams go out and work with our customers and constituents to try to find ways for our products to help reduce NOx, is to really think broadly and think about the fingerprint that's going to be left by this action. And when I say fingerprint, it's really, are we going to start bringing technologies into the state and new technologies not only drive and create more jobs and STEM development and of education of our workforce, but thinking about how the new diesel technologies and electrifications are going to leave that lasting fingerprint for us going forward. And then finally, we have my question about partnerships. If, when you do make your decisions and structure the plan, I do recommend that your partnerships be as broad as possible, both public and private, even working those intermingling together, because I think when the two entities get together and they start trying to find projects that make sense to reduce NOx quickly, I think they're going to find a creative way to make it happen. So I applaud the effort, and thanks for the opportunity to give comments.
Hi, I'm Mike Hayden with CoAlliance. We're a ag co-op in Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. Thank you for the time. I just wanted to voice some experience we have in the propane auto gas market. We service, supply about 200 buses in the central Indiana area. 100 of those are IPS buses. The other 100 are in the surrounding county, or in Marion and surrounding counties. So we've seen that really work financially as well as NOx reduction. The schools, I applaud them. They did the math before they bought the initial buses to make sure that propane worked long-term for them in place of diesel. They weren't trying to do the NOx reduction. They were really looking at the expense to the school and trying to save that money. So they took into account the expense to maintain a diesel, but they also added back in a replacement propane engine in case the propane engine wasn't durable. They've been in for 3 or 4 years in full service, operating flawlessly. IPS was closed a couple Fridays ago because of the cold weather. But they even comment on the news, they weren't closed because the buses didn't start like they used to have, but they have 100 propane buses that operate well in the cold. So not only is it a great NOx reduction, it's also a great financial adder for the school system. And we have great experience, great knowledge and real life data that we can share as this moves forward with that implementation. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Hello again. I can promise you a 45% reduction in NOx gases if you take my product and you attach it to a Class 8 tractor trailer. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Brad Bond. I'm the Director of Regulatory and Legislative Affairs for the Indiana Propane Gas Association. Mike Hayden was actually supposed to go after me, but he's a member of IPGA. That's okay. And so he explained AutoGas as far as his company is concerned. I'm just here to explain the benefits of AutoGas in general, and I'll be as brief as possible. I think you have some handouts in front of you, but so like I said, I'm just here to explain the benefits of propane autogas for the purpose of repowering and replacing diesel-powered vehicles and engines. Funds used from the VW settlement towards propane autogas would have a significant impact in reducing NOx emissions. The use of propane has seen significant benefits and success in school buses and the replacement or repowering of other eligible propane or diesel-powered vehicles such as forklifts and airport ground equipment. and they could see these same emission benefits. I will explain that there's an abundant supply of propane in the U.S. Most of it is being exported out of the U.S. Because it's a seasonal fuel, but if we were able to expand these markets, we will be able to keep that American energy here in the U.S. Propane is also an affordable refueling option. It's generally a natural gas station, for example, is about $1 to $3 million to put in a station. As you see in the slide, a propane station is about $37,000 to $175,000. So it's very cost efficient to put in a station. It's also the lowest total cost of ownership. The cost of diesel adds up quickly, expensive fuel, additional fuel fluids, and pricey particulate filters, things of that nature can cause prices of the fuels to go up. And propane does not have that added expense. So currently now in the country, there are 12,000 propane-powered school buses that transport about 700,000 students daily. There are 200,000 propane-powered vehicles on the road in the U.S., and propane is the world's third most popular auto fuel in the world. And most importantly, propane-powered vehicles offer huge emissions benefits. School buses themselves alone emit 13% fewer greenhouse gas emissions compared to gasoline, 7% greenhouse gas emission reduction than diesel. And for light-duty vehicles, which I don't think the class 4 through 7 category may be able to be applied to propane, but those are 14% greenhouse gas emissions compared to gasoline. For NOx purposes, replacing all diesel-fueled school buses older than, I think we can do model 2009. I have down 2007, but I think it's actually been changed to 2009. But if we replace all of those with new propane auto-fueled buses, that equals 92% in NOx reductions. To purchase a modern, best-in-class NOx emissions propane bus instead of a modern diesel bus, the NOx is reduced by 81%. That's all the information I have. I know that's quick. I can give you further information. I'll probably be at the other meetings as well. So, thank you.
Thank you so much. John Morgan.
I'm just a private citizen, ma'am. Okay. Thank you for your time this evening. My wife and I have owned two of the Volkswagen cars, and probably the greatest deal of my life to sell those back and make money off two used cars. So I do feel like I'm somewhat affected by this. I would just like to make a comment that I would hope that the 15% would go toward the EV infrastructure for the DC fast charging, that these funds came into the state of Indiana due to private citizens making purchases. And I think that those funds should go back to the private citizens if it could, as much as possible. Thank you.
Mike Belleron said you didn't want to make a presentation.
Hi, my name is Mike Falleroni. Again, I work for Ryan, but I'm here to represent my various clients who are thinking about upgrading their fleets in Indiana. I just like to voice what a lot of people have said about focusing possibly on refueling and replacing school buses. I think that, I'd recommend just trying to focus on our future and our children's livelihood, and I think that could be a very, very important way, and from a long-term perspective for children's health. There's a lot of science out there about how adversely impacted children are from taking buses every day that are diesel-powered. So that's my first point. And then The second point is you know, there is talk about a large-scale infrastructure bill across the country, obviously with Indiana's continued dedication to infrastructure. Things like cement trucks will be, you know, widely used, and in the refueling of, you know, cement and heavy infrastructure trucks that qualify under the eligible mitigation actions, I'd recommend that also be considered. Thank you.
Mostly myself, but I'm also on the board of the Improving Kids Environment. And I want to mention I'm happy to see the school board effort. One of the things that we've done, it's a nonprofit located here in Annapolis, and one of the things that we have done is to work with the EPA on reducing bus idling, which is really a lost cause, and especially when it's as cold as it's been. It's very hard to get them to do it. One of the things that disturbs me a little bit is that the problem there is not NOx. It's not NOx. That's not the main problem with diesel anyway. The particulates have been a major problem with diesel fuels. And so by not having things that emit fine particulates in the level that diesel buses do, that's a big advantage. So, you know, I applaud those who are looking for alternative fuels, and I think definitely some of the efforts should go to that. I think also some of the efforts should look further than just what we've got now, because the ultimate solution here, as far as kids are concerned, is the large number of diesel vehicles going through the urban areas, especially near the interstate areas, and, you know, both automobiles and heavy trucks are putting a lot of particulate loading along those corridors. And we've got an epidemic of asthma and allergies in our children, and it's very clear that diesel particulates are a major trigger for allergy attacks. And so we're increasing the difficulty of their school performance and lots of other things like that. And one solution, which is becoming much more realistic, Mercedes is already testing an over-the-road large vehicle using batteries, 500-mile range off of them. But at that point, you begin to get into how you recharge them. The state of Pennsylvania has already installed in many of their places. They have service centers along the interstate, but in many of those, they've brought in vendors and assisted them to set up recharging stations for vehicles. And so for both passenger and for buses and trucks and other heavy over-the-road vehicles, we reduce the level in the corridors by encouraging people to switch over, because there's now a pathway by which you can get to where you go. And anybody who's been on the Chicago to Indianapolis route behind all the trucks on 465 knows exactly what we're talking about in terms of the particulate loading in the air. So looking at how we reduce the exposure of children to diesel particulates along the diesel corridors, especially in the schools. Those are the kind of goals that we would really like to see implemented so that this money benefits a lot of Hoosiers of the future.
Thank you. Richard Steiner.
Sorry, I came in late, so I don't know if anybody's covered electric vehicles, but I represent the Hoosier Electric Vehicle Association, a nonprofit group encouraging electric vehicles. And I heard earlier that electric vehicles would get a reduction, but actually electric vehicles 100% clean, no diesel particulate, no NOx. And me personally, I can attest to using renewable energy for the last 8 years. I've subscribed to the Clean Initiative from IPL. They do provide renewable energy, if that's considered. Basically, electric vehicles are energy agnostic. Have to burn anything. We just have to change our source of energy. So, thank you.
Thank you. Steve Darnell from South Wales Community School District.
Thank you. I'm Steve Darnell. I'm superintendent with Southern Wells Community Schools, and just want to echo some of the comments that I've heard. As a public school corporation, our children are subject, and throughout the state of Indiana, it's my understanding that about 660,000 students ride buses in the state of Indiana, and they're subject to those emissions from those diesel school buses. I guess I would like the committee to consider replacing our diesel buses with electric buses. It would completely, 100% remove those emissions. Take that allergen, that stimulant away from children that they face in the morning and after school is out. So I would like the committee to consider that as a use for those funds on behalf of Southern Wells Community Schools and other school districts throughout the state of Indiana. Thank you.
Thank you for hearing me today. I can't say much more than what Steve just said about the emissions for our children, but I would also like to draw some attention to what some of the other schools are doing in the state of Indiana, because I just heard in the audience electric cars, electric vehicles, you're still using coal. But I'd like to give you an example. Our school corporation just put in 5 acres of solar panels in one area. We put in 2 acres of solar panels in another area to reduce our carbon footprint on our community. We also work with the NEED organization, which helps establish our kids' education of alternative energy. So I think that when you take a look at the plans that are going to be coming out and you look at the alternative energies that schools are utilizing in this particular case, I think that you can see that schools are doing everything possible to reduce our taxpayers' spending. We're trying to make our classrooms the greatest place for students. So if you look at the school buses, that's just another avenue, not only to help with our health of our students, but to educate our students. They are our future. They are our future leaders. They're going to sit in your chairs one of these days. And the more information we give them, the more opportunities we give them, the better off we will be as we grow older. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both. You came quite a distance, and we appreciate that. That is all of the sign-up sheets that I had. Is there anyone that would like to make a comment, present, that didn't fill out one? You're welcome to, as long as you fill out a card when you're through. Nobody did. Well, are there any comments or questions at all from the committee members?
After the process is finished and we approve a project, and item goes through the attorney generals and all the paperwork is done, does the settlement itself have a say in a project, or does the settlement take whatever we do and say okay or not okay? Is there a process for the settlement to...
The trustee is not approving the project. The trustee has provided that level of approval to the beneficiaries. In this case, it would be item through the advisory committee.
Any other questions?
I do have a couple of things I'd like to pass out. And I think a comment maybe that Bill made by email prompted me to answer this. If it is a bullet point list of responsibilities, right.
So any other comments? Any other comments from item staff? Not at all. Well, thank you all so much for coming. I do encourage you to get on the website, and it would really be beneficial if you write down comments, questions, suggestions through the website. It's really easier for staff to compile and everybody to see. So please keep that in mind, and we look forward to seeing your applications. Thank you all. We're adjourned.